The prophet Amos, speaking the words of God to us, reminds us that when we are strong warriors, when we are able to exert our own power and influence to remain in control, inevitably we become tyrants and we lord it over others and we go badly astray. And so one of the most merciful things that God does for us is to keep us weak, to keep us dependent on Him. Not that He doesn't want us to do great things. He gives us that virtue of magnanimity, to have a great spirit. As we hear the gospel reading, we can't help but think of St. Francis, who lived it out in such a radical way, the radical itinerant who followed the Son of Man so closely that St. Francis also had nowhere to lay his head. It was helpful in that case that he died so young, and perhaps a partial cause for it. But he remained radically dependent on the Lord, and he did tremendous things. He exerted tremendous power and influence, but he always knew his own weakness. He was always aware of his perpetual need for help. He wasn't afraid of that need. He didn't cover up that need. He expressed that need to our Lord and depended on the help that our Lord provides, and in a special way through the intercession of Our Lady of perpetual help. The more that we can be in touch with our need and our weakness, the more that we can recognize our fragility, and what a blessing it is to have in a single monastery a few generations, as those who are young witness those who are old gradually falling apart, as those who are old remember what it was like to be young. It's such a blessing because it's the way of all flesh. As much as we might be in good health, as much as we might have good strength at this moment, as much as we might have minds that work and feel that we're capable of carrying out some things, the future for all of us is to be one of those dead that needs to be buried, is to be completely helpless. And so the more that we are able to learn to depend radically on the Lord's providence, the more that we are able to realize that we have a mother who is not a mother of temporary help or convenient help. She is a mother of perpetual help. We're so tempted to treat her as one of the former. Well, I just want your help when I ask for it, and I want you to go away and leave me alone otherwise. Or, you know, you can be there and watch, but I can do it myself. The refrain of every three-year-old. We have a mother of perpetual help, and she wants to help us. And what could be more sweet than doing everything with her? And the way that the Lord is able to expose all the areas in our lives that we try to do it too much on our own, that we don't accept the help that she willingly and joyfully and delightfully offers us. All the ways that we keep her out, usually it's not conscious, but that's where when we find ourselves incapable and a little sickness is helpful for us to remind us from time to time that as much as our body feels like it's in our control, we don't have a whole lot of control over it. In fact, a flu comes in and we find ourselves horizontal and incapable. We get a terrible headache and we find that the thoughts that we were able to put together so easily yesterday come so in such a difficult way today. God sends these little reminders to help us reach out to Our Lady constantly, to let her be our constant companion, to let her be our perpetual help. And thus we become not so afraid of our perpetual need. The more that we experience our own weakness, the more that we realize that we are, as many of the saints have described it, an abyss of nothingness. That is to say, a vacuum of need. We have tremendous need. And that's terrifying to us, and so we have a way of burying that, pushing it down and covering it up with a lot of defenses and protection mechanisms, and we form all different kinds of parts of our personality and strange behaviors in order to keep all of that need down and out of sight, especially from those who would exploit it. And of course, the ones that see us best are the ones that live with us most and we can feel most threatened by. But the more that we are able to open that need up, first of all, to Our Lady and to Jesus, our spouse, the more that we're able to open that need up to God and His providence, the more comfortable we will be being needy in the presence of others as well. And how beautiful it is when God allows that intercession of Our Lady to be actualized in the heart of one of our sisters, or in the heart of one of our friends, in the heart of one of our family members. And they are able to be tangible hands and a visible face, an audible voice of our God, of our Lord's love for us, when they can be the expression of a little bit of that perpetual help. None of us can be perpetual help for anyone else. Our Lady is Our Lady of perpetual help. It's another danger that we can fall into, to think that we can become the Savior for somebody else, that we can be the sister or the father of perpetual help. It's not possible for us. We are the sister or the father of perpetual need. That's what we're very good at. And we are the sister or the father of temporarily, partially helping out Our Lady of perpetual help. And how beautiful it is when we can have generous hearts that can be available to the ways that she asks us to be of help, when we're able to step in and provide some assistance for the poor, for the sick, for the needy, and also the ones that live outside the monastery. It's a beautiful gift to be able to help Our Lady of perpetual help. And so we look to her as a model for our religious life, and I was delighted to find, you never know what a good Google search will do for you. Google of perpetual help? Anyway, we don't want to go there. Our Lady, working through the instrumentation of Google, can provide us to all kinds of places of help. And St. John Paul II, in 1981, celebrated Mass for women religious in the Cathedral of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. How convenient is that? And he said to them, and he says to you, your consecrated life should mirror Mary's life. The yes, which she uttered at the Annunciation, was nothing but a confirmation of her previous attitude and the point of departure for a journey in the Lord's company that lasted all her life. In this way, Mary reminds religious of the need to respond ever more generously to the Lord's plans for them. Each one will give this response in the first place by her openness to the Holy Spirit, by her continual conversion to Christ, by her chastity, poverty, and obedience. In short, by the unending discovery of her vocation and mission in the Church. And this constitutes that continued formation that for a number of years has been put forward as being so necessary. In this way, St. John Paul reminds us through the lens of continual conversion, our need for perpetual help. We never arrive in this life. And that's the way, although you clearly have a place to lay your head, I think all of us here had a place to lay our head last night, and we anticipate having a place to lay our head tonight. And yet there's a way in our spiritual life that we never have a place to lay our head. We never reach a point that we say, I finally arrived, and I'm a successful religious, or I'm a completed religious, I'm a finished sister. We're never finished. We have this need of continual conversion, because, thank God, we keep running into our weakness, we keep running into our limitations, we keep running into those parts of us that have been unformed and have been a trouble for us, maybe since our first breath, or other parts that become a trouble for us in God's mercy. And so we have a need of continual conversion. But that also means an adventure of continual discovery. The mercies of the Lord endure forever, and we haven't experienced all of them yet. There are more mercies that the Lord wants to share with us. There are more dimensions to Our Lady's perpetual help that we haven't discovered yet. And instead of lamenting or dreading the ways that we will be in need in the future, it would be better to have an attitude of joyful hope as we look forward to the ways that we will need a helping hand, as we look forward to the opportunities that, like the image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Jesus himself was scared by the instruments of the Passion, as the story goes, and lost his sandal as he ran into Our Lady's arms. Jesus also became weak in our humanity, and he needed a mother to care for him, to hold him. And from the position of that mother's arms, from the tenderness of her love, he was able to look at those instruments of the Passion. And surely without joyful expectation, and yet knowing the meaning behind those instruments of the Passion, with joyful expectation, he was able to behold the help that he would need in the future. And by God's providence, the same mother that was with him in that scary moment of childhood was the same mother who would be with him when those instruments of the Passion were exercised on him in his adulthood. She would never leave him. She would be with him every moment of his life. And the same is true for us. In our moments of fear, let us run to Our Lady's arms. In our moments of great suffering, let us turn and look and see the loving eyes that look upon us and take the hand that reaches out to us. Let us not be afraid of our perpetual need and the needs that the Lord will open up for us in the future, the suffering and passion that we ourselves will endure, knowing that she will always be the one who is there. At the foot of our cross, she will always be the one who is there praying for us, loving us, gazing upon us, and providing by that prayer the strength that we need.